Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Good morning. I'm Meg Scher, the executive director of the David M. Hunt Library, and I'm here this morning with Leslie Battis, the assistant director of the Norfolk Library. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Meg.
So we're excited today to be talking about the different ways that our libraries serve homeschoolers and homeschooling families. Leslie, do you want to start us off?
We don't have any formal programs for homeschoolers or their families, although the homeschooled children in the area do come to our programs. And we also have a chess club that they have formed and that they use our space for here at the library.
Oh, cool.
Which is... We're not really set up for, you know, tutoring or for them to come in and have a group event with us, unfortunately. So that is the extent of what we have. How about you, Meg?
I want to hear, before we move on, I'd love to hear a little bit more about the chess club, Leslie. I don't know if you know. Do they have someone who comes in and teaches, or is it more of a self-led thing?
It is not self-led. We have a wonderful gentleman in town that loves to play chess. He loves to teach chess. He's also done some adult chess with us.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So they approached him and asked him, and he was quite happy to come in. It's not on a regular basis that I can figure out, but they, I think, contact him and say, we're available here, and then he comes in and he teaches them, and they play.
Oh, wonderful. I've been trying to find a person for chess for a long time. It's so wonderful that you have someone in your community who's willing to do that and has that skill.
Yes, it is. It is.
That's awesome. So when I was thinking about how we serve homeschoolers, you know, of course, libraries serve homeschooling families whether or not they have designated programs for them. So we have one particular homeschooler that I think about who spends a lot of time in the library, participates in programs from story time to, and a lot of the passive programs I found have been really helpful. We have a sticker picture, we have a puzzle out, we have a scavenger hunt every month, and I've been finding that more and more homeschooling families are coming in to utilize the library for books. And while they're here, kids are able to socialize with other kids who are hanging out at the library and run around the library doing the passive programming. And they're excited every month about the different scavenger hunts. So they've been really enjoying that, which has been great.
That's fun. Yeah,
it has been fun. We're hiding all kinds of different things around the library, and they're always asking me for hints, and I love having to say, I don't know where any are either. I can't give you any hints. We run a half-day program when school is out for professional development, and in the past we've had homeschooling kids join us for those half-day programs. They sign up just like the kids from the elementary school, and that's been a great opportunity for them to socialize. And also in April, Anna, the children's librarian here, is going to be running a poetry workshop that is specifically geared towards homeschooling families. So it's April 8th at noon. We're asking for registration, which we don't usually do, so that we know how many to expect. And she's going to play with different personalized poetry, so kind of making a mood board about yourself and turning it into a poem. And this is for any school-aged children, you know, kind of five and up. You have to be able to write a little bit. But we're excited to do more homeschooling-centered programs, and we're always asking if there's something that people would like to see. We would love to hear about it and try and meet the needs that our community has. And I think we are fortunate that we have an upstairs room that is a little quieter and more separate, and that room is always open for, you know, sometimes we have kids playing Dungeons and Dragons up here, we have community meetings, but really any kind of group or program that needs a space, including homeschooling families looking to meet, we're happy to have people up here in our beautiful upstairs.
Oh, that is fortunate. That's a good.
Yes, that's where I also send people when they want quiet, because sometimes the library can be a little boisterous.
Exactly.
Leslie, let's move on to talking about books. What have people been requesting at the Norfolk Library?
Well, it's probably my fault, but The Astral Library by Kate Quinn has been our number one circulating book. Yes, I talked about it last month, and when it does make it back into the library, I do tend to send it out with someone else. So. and also C.J. Box, always popular, so his new one, The Crossroads, has been going out. And for nonfiction, it's The Greatest Sentence Ever Written by Walter Isaacson.
Uh-huh. Yes, that one has been very popular with us, too.
And how about at your library?
So we have a big, I'm hesitant to call them a C.J. Box fan club, but that's how I think of them.
Yes.
So we have a group of mostly men who are like chomping at the bit waiting for the new C.J. Box. So I have one person who I held it for when it came in, and he told all his friends. So we have a line for the C.J. Box, which I love. I love seeing people excited about their favorite author's new book. Also in fiction, the new Alice Feeney book, My Husband's Wife, has been very popular. And in nonfiction, One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This by Omar El Akkad, which has been on the bestsellers list on and off for a while and has seen a resurgence of popularity, and people have been asking for it. Leslie, what have you been reading since you finished The Astral Library? It's hard to start another one when you finish a good one.
It is. It is. But our First Monday book group chooses the books that they're going to read. And so they chose I See You've Called In Dead by John Kenney. And I have read this book already. I read it when it first came out. And so since then, my father died and my husband's mother died.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, thank you. But I have such a different perspective on this book than I did before. And it's so interesting how that happens with books, that you reread and you find something different about it, or something different touches you because of, you know, life events or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love this book. It's funny and profound. It's billed as a story about Bud Stanley, who is an obituary writer, and he has too many glasses of scotch one night and proceeds to write and publish his own obituary, which is highly fictionalized. He may or may not have been a superhero or, you know, something like that. So the newspaper wants to fire him over this offense, but the company's system has him as dead, so they can't fire a dead person.
Right, of course.
Right, and as they figure out what to do with him, Bud starts to attend the wakes and funerals of strangers with his friend Tim, who sees that Bud is stuck and afraid to feel and to live. And so it's just a great book, and I'm just going to read you a quick quote so you get a sense of it. At the beginning of the book, Bud asks the question of the readers, "What would you write if you had to write your own obituary?" I realize at first glance that the idea of writing one's own obituary while still alive may sound morbid. It's not, though. It's a needed reminder of who you are, of what truly matters, because it's your life and there's still time to write it.
Oh, I love that. I was you made me think, Leslie, that it would be a fun library maybe fun isn't the right word, an insightful library program to do a writing your own obituary workshop.
Yes, I had thought the same thing. The same thing. So that is what I've been reading, and you have been reading something good, I assume.
Yes, I've been. So, we'll start with this. So one of the pluses of being a librarian, as you know, Leslie, is that sometimes you get your favorite books before everybody else. So I got to read the new Anna Quinlan, which was called More Than Enough, and I loved her writing. I don't want to say it's easy because this book deals with IVF, it deals with losing friends to cancer, it deals with infidelity, it deals with heavy topics, but she does it in this incredible way through wonderful, well-developed characters that you're rooting for, and at the end you leave feeling with this feeling of hope and kind of lightness. So this one is about a middle-aged woman named Polly Goodman, who's an English teacher at an all-girls high school, and her husband, but it really centers on her three best friends, and they have a book group, and they meet once a month, and they don't read the book. And that's funny. They're, like, not allowed to read the book. And their relationship as different things happen and how friendships shift and middle age, and I really enjoyed it, and I can't recommend it enough.
Sounds good.
And then I got through two. I've been folding a lot of laundry recently and taking the dog for a lot of walks, so I've been listening to a lot of nonfiction. And I'm late to the game on this one, but I finally listened to The Library Book by Susan Orlean, which came out a couple of years ago and was a big deal when it came out. And it is so wonderful. So it's about a fire at the Los Angeles Library that happened in the 1980s, but it also, so it centers on that, and that kind of brackets the rest of the story, and it talks about whether or not it was arson and who they think it was. But it also talks a lot about the history of the librarians and the LA public library system, the way that librarianship has shifted throughout decades. It has, at the beginning of each chapter, it lists a bunch of titles and call numbers, which I loved.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And the different ways that the library serves people and what it means to the communities that it serves. And I just loved it. I really enjoyed it. And the last one I'll talk about, I had to limit myself to three. It was hard. I just listened to Family of Spies, which is a pretty new book by Kristen Kuhn. Did you read that? It is.
No, I can't get my hands on it. I want to.
Oh, my goodness. It's, well, we have a copy here. You can come check it out.
Okay.
It's about a woman, and it's a true story, who finds out that her family had a connection to the Nazis, that her great-grandfather was involved on the wrong side of World War II and had some involvement in Pearl Harbor. And I'm not going to say more because I'm not going to give it away, but it is, I mean, she grapples with what does it mean for herself to have this in her history, and why did her father not tell her about it? And she starts connecting with family members, and there's so much secrecy and guilt and shame around it, and really kind of looking at what was their motivation? What were they doing? How did they get swept up in this? And it is fascinating.
Oh, I can't wait to read it.
Yes, such a good one. Such a good one. Moving on to things that are happening at your library, Leslie, I'm sure you have wonderful things going on as always.
Well, we do. We have a lot going on. We have two author talks coming up. The first one is Sunday, March 22nd at 2 p.m., and it's the book is Passion and Power. It's by Harriet Cohen, and it's like her life in three worlds, as she describes it. She's one of the most celebrated divorce attorneys, and she navigated the male-dominated legal world from 1970s to today, but also a family, and also, you know, her her life outside of that, and how she, I'm sure many of us can relate to how she balances that.
Right.
And our other author talk is in April. It's Liz Tran will discuss her book AQ, and it's a new kind of intelligence for a world that's always changing.
Oh, cool.
And that's, yeah, she defines AQ as the agility quotient, which is the ability to handle change, disappointment, and uncertainty. And I would say in today's world, those are good qualities to have.
For sure.
We have a concert by the Joint Chiefs. I don't know if you know them or not.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Exactly. They join us in concert for an hour of Americana music. It's a popular band that's been like a linchpin of the Berkshire music scene for probably 30 years or something, and we're thrilled to have them at the library on Saturday, April 18th at 5:30. And then the last one is this really interesting program. It's in celebration of Earth Day and Norfolk's Earth Forum weekend, and the program is Music and Literature in Conversation, The Poetic Earth, Haydn and Emerson.
Oh.
And it's a program that answers an interesting question: how might Emerson's concept of the divine through nature illuminate the radiant faith of the slow movement of Haydn's Opus 76, number 5? So there'll be a short lecture that presents poetic and music examples sort of together. And then the students from the 2025 Norfolk Chamber Music Festival will play that opus, and hopefully we'll have a new appreciation for it.
Oh, how cool. What a cool program.
It is. And that's Saturday, April 25th at 2 p.m. And registration is required for that event. We think that it's going to be fairly popular. And so you can register on our website.
Great.
And how about your library?
This weekend, on Saturday, March 21st, from 5 to 7 p.m., we are celebrating National Quilt Day with our new art wall exhibit called Quilts of Many Colors. And over the last couple of months, the Hunt Library quilters have been working together on this incredible community quilt. They all did a square or two. And then we're highlighting some other beautiful quilts from local area quilt makers. So that is going to be absolutely delightful. I've been really enjoying sharing space with all of these bright, colorful quilts. Also, our art wall is expanding to include a video wall, which I'm really excited about.
Really?
We have a young person in Falls Village named Yona Sada, who's an incredible filmmaker, and we got him on the art wall committee, and this is his project. So the idea is that we're going to have films that are shown at the library, short films, and then they move over to the video wall. So if you miss the event, you can check them out on the video wall at any time. So our debut is going to be March 28th at 6 p.m., and the New York City filmmaker Imogen Prager will be showing two short documentaries. One is called Mail Myself to You, about mail art, M-A-I-L art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited about that, and it's like a fun all-ages film thing, and we're really excited about having more, incorporating video into our art program at the library.
I think that is so neat. Great job.
Thank you. And, getting 20-somethings excited and producing mm-hmm. library programs is such a dream. And the last one I wanted to mention that I'm very excited about, April is Library Lovers Month, and April 11th at 1 p.m., we'll have Thomas E. Johnson, Jr. here. He's the author of Commonplace, which is a book about the history of libraries, and he'll be doing a talk called The Public Library in America, a Key Post-Independence Institution Promoted the Common Good. So Thomas is going to talk about how the founding of our country and the founding of the library, what ideals are shared between those two, and how the library came out of a lot of concepts of the founding of our country, partially, coming off of our 250th anniversary. So
wow.
I'm really excited about that. Thomas is excited to be here. And actually, Scoville is featured in Commonplace as one of the libraries, so Thomas will be talking about Scoville specifically, which is really fun.
That is fabulous. I love that.
Yeah. So there's lots of, as always, lots of good things happening at our libraries.
Yes, there are.
Yeah. Thanks so much for talking to me today, Leslie. What a fun chat.
Thanks, Meg.
Have a great day.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.